As we come to Isaiah chapter 53, 1-3, we look at the beginning of our Lord's incarnation and his rejection. Notice it reads in Hebrew, Mi ha'amin lishmuteinu, uzraronai amin iklata, who has believed our report? And the arm of the Lord, unto whom has it been revealed? Mi is an interrogative personal pronoun, who, and ha'amin is from the root aman, to affirm or to believe. And notice it is a hifil with the hey prefix and a segol and then an I-class vowel in the final syllable. So who has been caused to believe? And notice le is the inseparable preposition believed toward or into. Shemuatenu is from shemua, meaning report. And enu is a first is a personal pronoun, first common plural, added to the noun shemua. Shemua becomes shemuat in construct with the personal pronoun added to it. Uzraronai, notice u is just your conjunction, and zeroa adonai, we have two nouns in construct. And the arm of the Lord, upon whom, notice the preposition al, followed by the pronoun mi, upon whom, niklata, upon whom has it been revealed? Notice niklata is from the root gala, to reveal. It is a nifal, perfect, third person singular from gala. And notice that final lamed hey verb changes to at in the third person use of it when it's in third person personal pronoun suffix. So, unto whom has it been revealed? From gala. And the noon gives it away as a nifal. So, who has believed this incredible report, he's saying? And the arm of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, unto whom has it been revealed? When the Lord creates the heavens, that is the work of his fingers. Psalm 8 says, Ki reshamecha ma'aseh etzbeotecha yarecha v'chochavim asher konanta. It's interesting, that's just light work. They tell us that the nearest galaxy is 30 million light years away, traveling at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. In 2 seconds, we zip past the moon. We still have 30 million years of travel time at that speed to get to the nearest galaxy. And that's just finger work. But when he reveals his arm, that's more flexing his biceps. That's more difficult work for him to do. That same idea is found in Exodus 15, when the Lord delivers his people through the Red Sea. So, the arm of the Lord, unto whom has it been revealed? And these rhetorical questions anticipate a negative answer. Not too many are able to receive this revelation because they're unwilling to believe. And we see this same text applied to the unbelief in the ministry of our Lord in John chapter 12. And then he goes on to describe his ignoble beginning, the ignoble beginning of our Lord. Vaya'al kayonek lefanav, v'chashoresh me'eretziya, lo tohar lo v'lo hadar v'nirehu, v'lo mareh v'nechmedehu. And as a root from dry ground, he has no form, and there is no beauty that we should look upon him, and there is no appearance that we should delight in him. Notice Vaya'al is a cal imperfect third person singular from the root Allah, to come up. And notice that Vav is a Vav Hafik or a Vav conversive. And so, and he came up, kayonek, as a suckling, or as a sapling. Again, ka is the inseparable preposition, kaf, followed then by the, probably the participle here, that which is the sapling, that which is getting sap, looking at a tender plant. And as a sapling, he came up, lefanav, before him. Lefanav, lefanav is literally to his face. But it's a preposition. And notice the av with the vav ending is a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So he came up as a suckling before him, and another conjunction, ka shorish, as a root, the noun shorish, followed by me eretzia, as a root from dry ground. Notice me is the preposition men, where the noon has elided, and we have compensatory lengthening with etc., from a hirik to etc., and then siya is the adjective simply meaning dry. So, as a root from dry ground, you have to ask the question, what can you expect from a root from dry ground? Or a tender sapling? And I'm reminded of the words in John, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? In other words, Jesus basically did not come as this strong, militaristic kind of dictator or person. He came as a little baby in a manger. He came in a tender way, like a root from dry ground, that which you wouldn't expect to become the Messiah. Lo tohar, lo velo hadar. There is no form. Lo is the negative particle, and tohar is the noun meaning form for him. Notice lo is the preposition followed by the third person, masculine, singular, pronominal suffix. So there is no form to him, and there is no comeliness or beauty. Notice ve is just your conjunction, and lo is the negative particle no, and hadar is the noun that means comeliness or beauty. So it's not the coming of the Lord, Isaiah is saying, is not one that we would look upon like some great king. He comes in a humble way. And then he goes on to say that we should desire him, venirehu. In other words, there's no comeliness that we would look upon him. We should probably translate this. Notice, ra'a is a cal, or the verb actually is a cal imperfect, first plural with the pronominal suffix hu added to the stem from the root ra'a. So there is no beauty that we should look upon him. Velo mare, and there is no appearance or that which we would see as beautiful. And notice ve is the conjunction followed by lo, the negative particle. And mare can mean appearance, or we could translate it beauty here. That, and notice the vav here has probably the meaning that, in order that, nechmedehu, that we should desire him. Nechmedehu is from the root chamad, to desire. Notice it has a nun prefix, so again, it is the imperfect, cal imperfect, first common plural from chamad, with a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular in the hu, that we should desire him. And then, as we go on, he then continues to describe how he was despised and rejected of men. Nivzev achadal ishim, ish machovot viyadu acholei, uch master panim mimenu. Nivzeb alo chashavnuhu. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of pains, and one who was intimately acquainted with sickness, and as the hiding of faces from him. He was despised, but we did not think about him or esteem him. Notice Nivzeh is from the root baza, a lamed hey verb. It is a nifal, perfect, third person singular from baza, a passive idea. He was despised, b'chadal ishim, and a forsaken one of men. Notice we have the adjective in chadal in construct with ishim, the noun in the masculine plural meaning men, preceded by the vav conjunctive. So he was despised and forsaken of men, ish machovot, a man of pains. And notice ish is the noun meaning man, and machovot is the feminine plural ending on the noun machov, meaning pain. And so we have plurality here. A man of pains, vidua holi, and was known of sickness. Notice vidua holi is from the root yada, to know. And here with the shurik, we're looking at a kal passive participle, masculine singular, with a vav that is a vav conjunction, and was known, we could say, of sickness or of disease. Again, this passive participle is in construct with holy, meaning disease. And furthermore, uchmaster panim memenu, as the hiding of faces from him. U is the conjunction. Ke is the inseparable preposition, kaf. And master is a noun meaning hiding. Actually, we could see this as a participle, a hifil participle, masculine singular from sater, with an ai vowel pattern, as the hiding of faces. And notice panim is a noun, masculine plural with the em ending, as the hiding of faces from him. And min menu becomes mim menu with the nun assimilating into the mim, showing the doggish forte here, with a helping hinge in n, and then nu. Actually, notice the doggish in the nun. This is because the final hu, it means him, the he of that had assimilated by reverse assimilation back into the nun. So, min men hu becomes min menu. As the hiding of faces from him, he was despised, again a kal, again a nifal, perfect third masculine singular, he was despised, and we did not think about him or esteem him. That is just your conjunction, and followed by lo, the negative particle. Chashav is the root to esteem or to give thought to. And notice it is the kal perfect, first common plural with the new ending. We did not think, followed by who, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So he was despised, and we did not esteem him or think about him. Isaiah is saying, as we look at our Lord, he came in a very humble way. His beginning was very ignoble, so to speak. And he was rejected. He was despised. And Isaiah, identifying with all the people, is simply saying, we did not really give him the time of day. He was like a leper, as one from whom people would hide their faces. And so this is the beginning, can we say, of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But as we go on in verses 4 to 6, we deal with the centerpiece, what we might call the centerpiece of this great text, and that is the vicarious atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice as Isaiah goes on, Al-chein holayenu hu nesa u'machoveinu sebalam va'anachnu hashabnuhu nagua mukei Elohim u'me'une. Surely, or indeed, our diseases he has borne. Notice, achein is an adverb followed by the noun holayenu, with the pronominal suffix, first common plural in the enu. So surely our sickness or our diseases, again, holy is disease, and this is a noun in that is really a collective singular having a plural meaning. So our diseases, he nasa, he bore. Who is just your personal pronoun, and nasa is the cow perfect, third masculine singular to bear. Surely our sicknesses he bore, umachovenu sebalam, and our pains. Notice machov is the word for pain, and enu means our, pronominal suffix, first common plural. So our pain, he bore them, or our pains. The pains of us, we could say. Here we have a plural noun in construct with nu. So our pains, sevalam, he bore them. Notice seval means to bear, and am is a pronominal suffix, third masculine plural. So our pains, he bore. He bore literally them. Sort of like a reciprocal use of the am, the pronoun here, taking us back to pains. So our pains, he bore them. And so we're seeing really the vicarious atonement of Christ as we go on. Notice he says, v'anachnu hashabnuhu nagua, but we thought of him stricken. Mukei Elohim u'me'une, stricken of God or smitten of God and afflicted. But the vav here is probably rendered in a contrastive way. Anachnu is a first person personal pronoun. We, chashavnuhu, notice chashav again is the cow perfect, first common plural with the hu, pronominal suffix. So we thought of him nagua. Nagua is from, it's a cow passive participle from naga to afflict. So we thought of him having been afflicted. Notice nagua is from naga to afflict, and we have an A, U, vowel pattern. This is a cow passive participle from naga to afflict. So the u gives it away as a passive participle. So we thought of him having that he was afflicted or stricken. Mukei Elohim, having been smitten of God. Notice mukei is from the root naka. The nun has assimilated into the kaf. It's a pei nun verb. And mukei is a whole vowel participial form with the mem prefix. And so we would translate it, having been caused to be smitten of God. And that participle is in construct with Elohim, that whole vowel participle, again, from the root naka. So, having been stricken of God, u-me-una, and afflicted. Notice, u-me-una is from ana, to afflict. And if you'll notice the vowel pattern, it is a shava followed by a kibbutz. It's a puel participle from ana, having been afflicted. So the pu'al stem is used to describe our Lord. We thought of him as one who was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. We thought he deserved what he was getting. But that wasn't it at all. So Isaiah goes on to say in verse 5, it was really for us that he was afflicted. Vahu mecholel mipashayenu, meduka me'avanotenu, musar shalomenu alav uvachavurato nirpalanu. Notice he says, but he, and again we have the contrastive use of the conjunction here, ve, and who is a personal pronoun meaning he, but he was mehulal, pierced through. Here we have a polal participle preceded by the mem with the o and the comets, the holim and the comets. So he was pierced through or wounded because of our transgressions. Notice the mem here is a causative use of the mem, where the nun has assimilated into the pay, and because of a pasha means transgression, and so here we have a noun plural with the seriyod in construct with the nu, which is the pronominal suffix first common plural. And the mem here is a causative use of the mem. So he was pierced through because of our transgression. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Meduka is from the root daka, to crush. Notice we again have a shava with a kibbutz, dogish in the kaf in the middle radical, showing that we're looking at a pu'al participle, masculine singular, from the root daka. So he was crushed, again, because of our iniquities. Notice the mem here is a causative use of the mem, where the noon has elided, and we have compensatory lengthening under the mem, from a hirik to a tseri, because of our avonotenu. Notice avonot, with the feminine plural ending in od, followed by the pronominal suffix, first common plural, in the new, a new. So basically, he was crushed because of our iniquities. And then musar shalomenu alav, and the chastisement. Here we have a noun, singular in construct with shalomenu, the chastisement of our peace. And notice shalom means peace. Again, enu looks at our peace, pronominal suffix, first common plural. And so the chastisement of our peace was, and we have to supply the verb was understood, was alav, upon him. Al is the preposition, followed by the vav here, third masculine singular pronominal suffix. So the chastisement of our peace was upon him, uvachavurato nirpalanu, and by his blow it was healing for us. Notice the u is the simple conjunction here. Since we had a labial bait, two labials, ve, va, chavurato, the first one in the conjunction changes to a shurik in that environment. And so we would render it, and by, notice the va is a prefix, inseparable bait, showing means. So by means of his blow, or his stripe. Notice havura means blow or stripe, a collective singular with a plural idea. So by his stripes or by his blow, and that o is a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So by his blow, it was a healing for us. There was a healing for us. And I'm understanding this as a nifal. We could take this as a nifal perfect third masculine singular, or a nifal participle. There was a healing from rafa, to heal, with the nun prefix, giving it away as a nifal for us. And notice the lamed is that inseparable lamed with the nu, the pronominal suffix, first common plural. So by his blow, there was a healing for us. Here we have a beautiful picture of the vicarious atonement of Christ, who suffered in our stead, who paid our penalty by his death upon the cross for all humankind. And so in verse 6, Isaiah continues, Kulanu katson tayinu, ish ledarko paninu, ve'adonai hifkiyavo etavon kulanu. All of us, as sheep, go astray. Each to his way we have turned. But the Lord caused to land upon him the iniquity of all of us. Notice kulanu, all of us. Here we have kul, a noun in construct with the new pronominal suffix, first common plural. So all of us as sheep. Here again we have the conjunction, the kaf, followed by the noun son, meaning sheep. So as sheep, ta'inu. The root here is from ta'a, to go astray. And notice the new is your first person plural suffix on the kal perfect stem here. So this is just a kal perfect, a first common plural from ta'a, to go astray. So we all go astray as sheep. Each, ish is a noun meaning each one, ledarko, to his way. The lamed is the preposition to, and darko is from derek, meaning way, but in construct it becomes darko, dark with the O, which is your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular in construct. So each to his way, we have turned. Paninu is from pana, to turn. Again, it's a lamed hay verb, where the hay has alighted, and we see that yod reappearing. These lamed hay verbs were historically lamed yod forms, or final yod forms. So each to his way, we have turned. So again, this is your kal perfect from pana, first common plural. So each to his way we have turned, and the Lord, v'Adonai, hifgia bo. But the Lord, we could translate it, caused to land upon him. Notice hifgia, after the tetragrammaton, is from the root paga, to light upon, to land upon. We have a hey prefix with a hirik, vowel followed by a hirik yod between the gimel and the ayin. So the Lord has caused, it's a causative stem in the hifil here, the Lord has caused to land or light on him. Here we have the bait preposition with the pronominal suffix third masculine plural. But the Lord caused to light on him. And now we have et, sign of the direct object, avon kulanu. The iniquity, avon is a noun, in construct, the iniquity of kulanu, of all of us. Here again we have the noun kul, kol, followed by the pronominal suffix, first common plural. So what we see here, I believe, is a perfect depiction of the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ. When we think of the atonement of Christ, we need to see that he took our place, that he paid our traffic ticket, so to speak. He died in our stead. He suffered the penalty for our sins so that we could be acquitted. And it's interesting, Paul will say, he who knew no sin, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, became a sin offering, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So from verses 4 to 6, we have a beautiful depiction of the vicarious atonement of Christ. I believe in Yom Kippur, Leviticus 16, that the first goat that was killed and its blood was sprinkled is actually being depicted here. And we're looking at vicarious atonement so that we could be pardoned, that we could be acquitted as a centerpiece of this very text. We're like sheep, though. We go our own way, but He took our place. I'm reminded of some years back when my wife, Janet, and I were pastoring in Hopewell, New Jersey. There was what we called a live nativity scene, where farmers would bring their animals, and we would be out in the cold putting on a live nativity. And on this one particular night, I remember there were two sheep there. The crowd was beginning to gather, and I'll never forget, I was one of the wise men, and Janet was the shepherd. And one of the young boys that was there, his nose was running, and he sort of wiped his nose, and he said, "Hey, mister, are you one of the wise guys?" Well, needless to say, we all lost it at that point. We were told that we were to be serious out there, but it was more difficult to do so under that circumstance. But after everything closed down, Janet and I were to put the sheep back into the garage, which was made into sort of like a makeshift barn-like that had straw. And Janet took the one sheep back with no problem. It had a little bell on it, and it went right back, no problem at all. My sheep refused to budge, and it became so stubborn that it actually laid down on the ground, and it was really freezing cold. And I said to Janet, "What are we going to do? Some farmer owns this sheep, and he's going to be very upset if we don't get it back into the barn." He was on his back, and he was refusing to move. Well, Janet, being a farm girl from Nebraska, said, "I think I got an idea." So she went back to the barn and brought the other sheep back out. And when the sheep on its back heard the bell of the other sheep coming, it got up and followed that sheep back into that little barn of safety. I've often thought about that. We're all like sheep. We get on our back. We want to do it our way. We want to do our own thing. And we're going to freeze to death. But the good news is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came for us. And we heard His bell. And when we heard His bell, we responded and have entered then into that eternal safety of God's salvation, which Christ has brought us into. So this great text is the centerpiece of Isaiah 53, looking at what the Lord has accomplished in His vicarious atonement. I think Isaiah is actually looking at that first goat of Leviticus chapter 16. But then following this, we move now to the way that Christ went to the cross. We're going to see His example, His non-resistant example, His trial, His death, and His burial in chapters 7 to 9. It reads, in verses 7 to 9. It reads, "Negas v'hu na'ane v'lo yiftach pi, kaseh la'tevach yuval, u herachel lifnei gozezecha nechalama. Below Yiftach Piv." He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Notice Nagas is from the root Nagas, and it is a PL perfect third masculine singular with the I class vowel followed by the doubling of the noon, giving it away as a PL. So he was oppressed Nagas, to oppress. Vehu nahane, and he was afflicted. Notice, as we look, I had said this is a PL. Let me go back on that. From Nagas, we had Ningas. So actually we're looking at a Nifal, perfect, third masculine singular from Nagas, becoming Ningas, I should say Ningas, where the Pei Nun has assimilated into the Gimel with the Nun prefix. So it's a Nifal perfect, not a PL, third masculine singular from Nagas. So he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Notice the Vav in the conjunction and the personal pronoun in the Hu. And Na'ane is from the root Ana, to be afflicted. And notice again, it's a Nifal perfect third masculine singular like Nagas, from Ana, to afflict. So he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Velo Yiftach Piv, but he did not open his mouth. Notice the ve here is just your conjunction. Lo is the negative particle. And yiftach is from the root patach, to open. It is simply the kal imperfect third masculine singular from patach, followed by the noun pi and the vav, showing that we're looking at a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. And he opened not his mouth. So kal imperfect, third masculine singular with the yod prefix in patach. He opened not his mouth. Kaseh la tevach yuval, and as a lamb to the slaughter he was brought. Notice ka is just your preposition, ka with the definite article in the pathak, and se is a noun meaning lamb, as a lamb, a singular, la tevach tu. The lamed is the preposition to. Tevach is a noun meaning slaughter. So, and as a lamb is brought to the slaughter. Yuval is caused to be brought. Notice the root is from wabal. It's a pevav root. Becoming Yaval, but in this context we're looking at a hofal third person singular from Yaval. That Shurik gives it away. Historically it would have been Yalval becoming Yuval in the hofal stem. So as a sheep to the slaughter he was caused to be brought, u cherachel, and as a u lamb. Notice again, u is the conjunction, che is the inseparable preposition, rachel is a noun meaning u lamb, and as a u lamb, lifne gozezecha. Lifne is your preposition before, literally to the face, faces. But it became from that simply a preposition. So before gozezecha, it shears is dumb. Notice gozezecha is from gazaz, to shear, and it's her shearers. And notice gozezecha is the kal participle, masculine plural, followed by the pronominal suffix, third feminine singular in the ah. So before her shears is dumb. Nehalama is from the root alam, to be dumb. It is a nifal perfect, third feminine singular from alam. So as a ewe lamb before her shearers, the ones who are shearing her, is dumb, below yiftach pi, and he did not open his mouth. Again, ve is the preposition, is the conjunction. Lo is the negative particle, not. Yiftach is from the root patach, to open, the kal imperfect third masculine singular from patach. And fiv is the noun pi, meaning mouth, with the pronominal suffix in the vav, third masculine singular. So as a hue lamb before her shears, she has been brought, or she was brought, but, I'm sorry, she was dumb, as a ewe lamb before her shears is dumb, but still he did not open his mouth. So Jesus is like an innocent lamb brought to the slaughter, as a ewe lamb before her shears is dumb, and yet he did not open his mouth. It's interesting, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see this example of Jesus being lived out. When Peter is encouraging the servants to follow the example of our Lord, who being reviled did not revile back, being threatened did not threaten back, but delivered himself over to the one who judges righteously. And Peter says he left us a hupagrammaton, an example that we should follow in his footsteps. That word in the Greek, hupagrammaton, is actually looking at the writing of an alphabet, where the teacher would write the Greek alphabet in a wax tablet, and the student then would imitate the teacher, writing alpha, beta, gamma, and so forth, in imitation of the teacher. And so Jesus has already etched the alphabet of how we are to live into history. And we see that upon the cross in his non-resistant, non-violent example. So here we have the example of how we're to live. The centerpiece of the atonement is the vicarious atonement. The example theory would grow out of that. It is not the centerpiece. I believe the centerpiece is the vicarious atonement that we've seen in the previous verses. Now we're looking at the example that grows out of that. Hence, we accept Jesus as our vicarious suffering atonement, to be acquitted, to be pardoned. But then we follow in his example as seen in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then Isaiah goes on in verse 8, Meotzer umemishpat lukach, ba'et doro mi yesochecha, ki negzar me'eretz chayim mepesha ami negelamo. From oppression and from judgment he was taken away. And with his generation, who became concern or reason that he was cut off from the land of the living because of the transgression of my people, to whom the blow was due? Notice the mem here is another preposition from otzer. Otzer is a noun meaning oppression. And I think we're looking at the trial of Jesus and the oppression that he went through, the beatings and all that he experienced. We could also tie this in with chapter 50, where the suffering servant had his beard pricked or pulled, and he was spit upon. And so from oppression and from judgment, ooh, the preposition or the conjunction followed by the preposition men, and then mishpat, the noun meaning judgment, from judgment. And I think we're looking at the trial of Jesus, the misjudgment, the mistrial. And so from oppression and from judgment, lukach, he was taken away. Lukach is from the verb lakach, to take. And notice it's a pu'al perfect, third masculine singular from lakach. That kibbutz gives it away as a pu'al with the doubling of the kof. So from judgment, he was taken away. Va'et doro mi yesochecha. But as to his generation, who meditated or became concerned? The et here, again, the conjunction, and et, the sign of the direct object. Doro is from the noun dor, followed by the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular in the o. And with his generation, mi yesochecha, who gave thought or reason. The root is sicha, to give reason, and notice it is a polel, imperfect, third masculine singular from sicha, so we double the chet in that polel form. We see the holam vav, and then followed by the tseri, indicating a polel, It is imperfect, third masculine singular, polel imperfect with the yod prefix. So really, who became concerned with his generation? The word generation could look at his offspring. He's dying without a generation, without an offspring. But who really becomes concerned among his contemporaries? I believe Isaiah is saying, Ki for Nigzar me Eretz Chayim. He was cut off from the land of the living because of the transgression of my people to whom the blow was due. Notice, Ki here is just your conjunction, and Nigzar is very significant. He was cut off. It's a nifal, perfect, third masculine singular from the root gazar, to cut off. And it is interesting that that same root is used in Leviticus 16 of the second goat who was led away to a gezerah land, to a cut-off land. I can't help but think that Isaiah is thinking about the second goat here. The first goat was put to death. We saw that in the vicarious atonement of our Lord. Now, like the second goat, where the high priest would lay his hands upon that second goat and it would be led off into a desert place, a gezerah, an eretz gezerah, a cut-off land, so Jesus was nigzar. He was like that goat. He bore our sins away. So we have expiation here. We have propitiation or satisfaction in verses 4 to 6. I believe we have expiation, removal of our sins, like that second goat here, appealing again to the same root of gazar being used here as a verb, there as an adjective in Leviticus 16. For he was cut off, may Eretz Chayim, from the land of the living. Notice the mem here is the preposition, and Eretz Chayim is a noun and two nouns in construct. So from the land of the living ones. Chayim is masculine plural, meaning living ones. Again, I'm taking it as an adjective. So he was cut off from the land of the living ones. He died, in other words, without an offspring, is really what I believe Isaiah is saying. At least none at this point. We're going to see one at the resurrection, though. And then he goes on to say, Mipesha ami negelamo, because of the transgression of my people, to whom the blow was to them, or the blow was to them. And I think the point is, he was cut off. Mem is a causative use of the mem here. The nun and the men has assimilated. Because of the transgression, pesha means transgression, it's in construct with ami. Ami is the noun am, meaning people, and e is the pronominal suffix, first person singular. So because of the transgression of my people, the blow, nega is a noun meaning blow or stroke, lamo, to them. Lamo is the preposition, the lamed, followed by the suffix, the pronominal suffix, third masculine plural, from amo becoming amo. That is, because of the transgression of my people, who really deserved the blow. In other words, he took our penalty again. It was really due, the stroke was due to my people, Isaiah is saying, which really could represent all of us as sinners before the Lord, and yet he bore the penalty of our sins. And then he goes on to say, though, but that from his death, he then dies between two criminals on the cross, and he's buried in the tomb of a rich man. Notice verse 9, Vayetein et reshaim kivro ve'et ashir b'motav alo chamas asav alo mirma befiv. And they gave, literally, he gave I think it's actually singular, but referring to a plural subject. We might even translate it. It was something that he gave, meaning he, representing a collective kind of a singular in the plural they. Again, it is from natan, the root natan. It is a cow imperfect, third masculine singular from natan. So yintain becomes yittain, where the nun assimilates in this pay nun verb into the tav, causing a doggish forte for a doubling. And the vav here is a vav hafik, or a vav consecutive, or a vav conversive, however one defines or calls it. So, and they made or gave, et is the sign of the direct object, with the wicked ones. Notice reshaim is from the noun rasha, meaning wicked. So we're looking at an adjective here, with the wicked ones, we could say, and im is a masculine plural suffix, and with the wicked ones, his burial. Kever is the word for burial or grave. And notice it's in construct, becoming kivro, with the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular in the O. So, they gave with the wicked his burial, v'et ashir b'motav, and with a wealthy man. Notice v'et is the conjunction and et again is the sign of the direct object. Ashir is a noun singular meaning wealthy. So, and with a wealthy man in his death. Beth is the preposition meaning in. And motav, mot is the noun meaning death. It's plural here, so we would understand it as in his deaths. Actually, it's an intensification, I believe, here. We're looking at not only physical death, but spiritual death as well, as we look at it through the lenses of New Testament theology. So, with a wealthy man in his death, and that vav is a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, and notice the singularity of ashir. I cannot help but see here we're looking at the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and with a wealthy man in his death. Although, preposition al, lo hamas, although he had not done violence. Lo is the negative particle, followed by hamas, meaning violence, and asa is the cow perfect, third masculine singular from asa. Although he had not done violence, velo mirma befiv, and there was not any deceit in his mouth. Notice ve is the conjunction and lo is the negative particle, and mirma is the noun meaning deceit. Be is the inseparable preposition followed by p meaning mouth, and vav the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. In other words, he had done no violence. He was innocent. There was no deceit in his mouth. And yet he died between two criminals upon the cross, and he made his grave with a wealthy man. And I take that to be Joseph of Arimathea in the New Testament. So what an amazing prophetic prediction here, even to that idea that he was buried in the tomb of a rich man. So in this section, we've seen his non-resistant example, his trial, his death, and his burial. And then finally, as we come to verses 10 through 12, we then come to see his final victory in resurrection and glorification in 10 to 12. Notice it says, V'Adonai chafetz dako hechali im tasim asham nafsho Yerezera Ya'arik Yamim V'chefetz Adonai Be'yado Yitzlach. But the Lord, or yet the Lord. Here it's emphatic, the tetragrammaton, yod he vav he. The Lord, chafetz, was pleased to crush him. Chafetz, again, is the cal perfect, third masculine singular, from chafetz. The Lord was pleased, dako, to crush him. Dako from daka is a PL participle with a pronominal suffix in the O, third masculine singular. Notice the pathak under the dalet followed by the doubling of the kaf is indicative of a PL infinitive form. So the Lord was pleased to crush him. He has made him sick. Echali is from chala, to be sick. And notice the hey prefix is indicating a hifil with the segol, and that being segol instead of hirik because of the chatev segol or the hurried segol or the composite segol, I should say, the chatev segol, under the chet of the stem of the first consonant of chala. So he has caused him to be sick. Hifil, perfect, third masculine, singular from chala. And so the Lord caused him to be sick. In other words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that goes on to be defined in the next phrase, im tasim asham na sho. When you place his soul a trespass offering. Notice, im can be rendered when here, and tasim is from the root seem. It's the cal imperfect second masculine plural from seem, a biradical root. So when you place a trespass offering, notice a sham here means a trespass offering. And this word, this noun, singular, is used in Leviticus 5. Of the trespass offering. And so we're definitely looking at an offering, a sacrifice that Jesus is offering here, and that the Father is offering his Son as a sacrifice. So when you place his soul, and notice nafsho is from nefesh, soul, and nafsh is in construct with o, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So when you place his soul a trespass offering, then we're going to have good news. Let me just say that Jesus also willingly laid down his life on behalf of all mankind, and all who believe in him are able to have eternal life forever through faith in him. He said, no one takes my life from me, but I willingly lay it down. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But his only begotten Son was willing to be offered as a sacrifice. So it goes on, when that happens, Yira Zera Ya'arik Yamim, he will see seed. He will prolong days. Notice Yira is the cow imperfect third masculine singular from Ra'a, to see, and Zera is just a noun meaning seed. So we're looking at a progeny here. Christ now died childless, but after his death in the resurrection, he now has a great offspring, a great progeny, a spiritual progeny. And all believers who believe in Jesus are part of that, become that. And so he goes on to say, Ya'arik Yamim, he will prolong days. Notice Ya'arik is from the verb arak, to prolong. We have an A-I category verb here, so we're looking at a hifil imperfect, third masculine singular from arak. So he will prolong yamim, or days. Yamim is from the noun yom, meaning days, and in the plural it becomes yamim. So it's a noun masculine plural with the im ending from yom. So we would render it, he will see a progeny, he will prolong days, b'chefetz Adonai b'yado yitzlach, and the pleasure of the Lord in His hand will prosper. Notice ve is the conjunction and, chefetz is a noun in construct with yod hey vav hey. So in the pleasure or purpose, we could say, of the Lord, b'yado, in His hand, He will prosper. Notice be is the preposition in, yod is the noun for hand, followed by the pronominal suffix in the o, a third masculine singular, and yitzlach is the cal perfect third masculine singular from salach. So he's going to see a progeny. We're going to see resurrection, Isaiah's saying. Praise the Lord, that happened on the third day. Christ arose from the dead, and the pleasure or purpose of the Lord was able to prosper in His hand by what Jesus accomplished. And so in verse 12, he goes on, Me'amal nafsho yireh yispa, bidato yatzdik tzadik avdi larabim, va'avanotam hu yispo. Of the travail, or from the travail of his soul. Notice the mem here is a preposition from. Again, the noon has elided, the men, and the hirik under the mem has become a tseri. The noon elides because the guttural ayin cannot take a doubling or a doggish forte. So from the travail of his soul. Notice we have two nouns in construct, amal, meaning travail. Nefesh is the word for soul. It's in construct with o, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So from the travail of his soul, yireh, he will see. Yireh is the cal imperfect, third masculine singular from ra'ah, a final lamed hey verb, to see. And yisba is also a cow imperfect, third masculine singular from sabah, to be satisfied. So from the travail of his soul, he will see. This could refer to the father seeing the travail of the soul of his son, the Lord Jesus, and then he will be satisfied by the fact that a sacrifice has been made for sins. A satisfactory sacrifice has been made for sins. It could refer to the Son Himself when He cries out, it is finished, from the travail of His soul, being satisfied that atonement had been made. So we could go either way here in terms of the He, and whether it's the Father seeing and being satisfied or the Son, the context. Actually, we could take it either way. It could be a combination of both. Actually, and no doubt is, in the third person singular form that's used here. And then he goes on to say, Biddato yatzdik tzadik adi larabim v'avanotam hu yisbol. Hu yisbol. By his knowledge, notice the be here is the preposition in, and da'at means knowledge. Here it's in construct with o, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So by his knowledge, yatzdik is from the root sadak, to be satisfied, and it is a hifil, imperfect, third masculine singular with an ai, pathak, hirik, yod, vowel pattern from sadak. So by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant. Now, we can take tzaddik with avdi, and looking at the righteous servant, that's going to affect this. So, we could render it by his knowledge, that is, by the knowledge of what Christ is accomplishing, he himself knowing what he was accomplishing, shall my righteous servant, tzaddik then would be an adjective with avdi. Avdi is from the noun evad, and in construct it becomes av, followed by the pronominal suffix, first common singular in the e. So my righteous servant shall cause the many to be justified. Notice the lamed is the inseparable preposition, shall justify to the many, we could say. And rabim is from rabah, meaning many, rabab. And notice the im is putting it in plural, from the many ones, my righteous servant. So we have an adjective here in the plural, shall cause many to be justified. I'm reminded that in the Septuagint, the verb used here is dikaiao. It's the same verb that Paul uses in Romans chapter 3, where he says, dikaiumenoi, being justified freely by his grace. I can't help but think that Paul develops the concept of justification based on a very text such as this, and I think based on this text, referring to what Christ has done for us. Va'avonotam hu yisbo, and their iniquities he will bear away. Notice va is just your conjunction. Avon is iniquity. Avonot is feminine plural ending, so it's iniquities, plus the am, pronominal suffix, third masculine plural. So, and by their iniquities, hu yisbo, he will bear away. We could say, I should say, and their iniquities, he will bear away. That is, Christ will bear away. Here we have again expiation, carrying them away, like that second goat on Yom Kippur. Hu is the personal pronoun, and yisbo is the cow imperfect, third masculine singular from sabal, to bear away. So, and their iniquities he will bear away. Therefore, verse 12, Lachain, achalek lo barabim, ve'et atzumim yechalek shalal, tachat asher he'ra lamavet nafsho, ve'et posheim nimna, v'hu chet rabim nasa, ve'la posheim yafgia. Therefore, I will divide. Notice after Lachain, we have Achalek. Achalek is the PL imperfect, first common singular from Chalak, to divide. Therefore, I will divide to him, the Lamed followed by the O, pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. I will divide to him among the many. Notice the bait, and then the rabbah becoming plural, and the im, among the many ones in the adjective plural here. I'm going to divide a portion for him. And I think we can say that we as Christians become the Lord's plot of ground, his special treasure, the portion that the Father has allotted to him because of his willing sacrifice on our behalf. Ve'et atzumim yechalek shalal, and with the strong. Atzumim looks at those who are mighty or strong. Notice atzum, the uval, the shurik, indicates that we're looking at a cow passive participle, masculine plural in the im ending. So with the strong, yechalek shalal, he will divide the spoil. And notice again, we have a PL imperfect, third masculine singular, with the shava pathak, followed by the doubling of the lamed, and shalal means poor, or spoil. So with the strong, he will divide the spoil. I think we're looking at the fact that we're only strong because of Christ. And because of Christ, he will divide the spoil of his victory on the cross and in the resurrection with all true believers. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over Satan, all of these things we now share in the spoil of his cross and resurrection victory, because, tachat asher, we would render this together, because he'ra lamavet nafsho, he laid bare his soul to death. He'ra is from the root ara, and notice it's got a hey prefix with a segol, which is indicative of the hifil, Here we had a composite Hatef Segol under the ayin, the guttural, and that ayin part of that, or the Segol part of that shifted under the hay in the Hifil stem here. So it's the Hifil perfect, third masculine singular, because he laid bare, or caused to lay bare, to death. Notice the lamed preposition, followed by the noun mavet, to death, his soul. Nafsho from nefesh, meaning soul, nafsh in construct with o, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. Because he caused to lay bare his death, his soul, v'et poshim nimna, and notice et again is the sign of the direct object, and poshim is from the root pasha, meaning a transgressor. And here it is a kel participle, masculine plural, with the O class vowel and the im ending. So with transgressors, he was numbered. Nimna is from the root mana. It is a nifal perfect, third masculine singular from mana. So with transgressors, he was numbered. Vahu chet rabim nasa. And he, here again we have the vav conjunction followed by the personal pronoun who. Chet is the noun meaning sin, and it's in construct, noun meaning sin, in construct with rabim. Again, the adjective plural with the im ending, and with the sin of many, and he, I should say, the sin of many ones, Nasa bor. Nasa is just the cal perfect third masculine singular from Nasa. So he bore the sin of many, vela poshim yafgia, and here again we have the conjunction in the ve, followed by the inseparable preposition lamed, and poshim again, poshim, is the cal participial form with the O class vowel, followed by the im, so it makes it plural, kal participle, masculine plural, from pasha, meaning transgressors. So with those who are transgressing, yafgia, he makes intercession. And notice yafgia is from the root paga, to make intercession. Here it has an ai vowel pattern. So we're looking at a hifil stem, a hifil imperfect, third masculine singular from paga. He causes to make intercession for transgressors. So when we come to the conclusion in verses 10 to 11, we learn that the purpose of the Lord has prospered now in the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has brought a justification, a divine quittal to all who are willing to accept him as their Savior by bearing away their iniquities. And the Father, therefore, divides the result of his victory with him, in that we become his plot of ground, as it were. Those who are willing to believe in him as Savior become his heritage, or his inheritance, as a result of what he's done. And he divides the spoil of his victory with us. Victory over sin, victory over Satan, victory over death. And we look forward to that day when there will be no more tears and no more death, and the former things will have passed away. And all of this is possible because he was willing to bear the sin of many by his sacrifice upon the cross. He was willing to lay bare his soul to death and be numbered with transgressors. And he continues to make intercession as our great high priest, our Kohen Gadol, before the Father. I'm reminded of the great hymn, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." What a beautiful song that captures the meaning of this great text. When I was about in the sixth grade, we had neighborhood football teams. And we were so skinny that you could hardly see us if we turned sideways. We were playing, I was from Linden. We had a team, we were playing Mifflin at the time. This is located in Columbus area. And Mifflin had a gentleman on his team, or a young man on their team, called Big Moose. When Big Moose hit you, it was all over. And one particular Saturday we were playing, and Big Moose was devastating all of us. Our hero was Richard Love, but he was late coming to the game. And finally, he rode up on his bicycle, and immediately we were so excited. We called him into the game, in the huddle. We said, "Richard, we have one play. That is, we're going to give the ball to you. We're going to line up our skinny bodies behind you and follow you into the end zone." And so that's what happened all afternoon. We gave the ball to Richard. We lined up behind him. He went through the line. Big Moose hit him, bounced off, touchdown, all afternoon. And as I think about that, I think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who basically has cut the way through the thicket of death. He has defeated all of, we could say, the big mooses that we face. He's defeated sin. He's defeated Satan. He's defeated the demons. And he's defeated death. And all we need to do is accept him as our Lord and Savior, accept his vicarious sacrifice, and we see he made that atonement for us. And then we're to follow his example. And then we have Christus Victor. He's the victor as a result of what he's accomplished based upon his vicarious centerpiece atonement. So all we need to do is line up behind him and follow him as our Lord and as our Savior. Praise the Lord. When we look at a text like this, I'm reminded of the great hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." May that be our goal as we follow our Lord and our Savior.